You know, I don't understand this big deal if you've already seen it. It's so old.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 25, Irreconcilable Similarities. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
It's so old. I just love that she got like three syllables out of that. Hello, Tara and Dave.
Shall we get into this so old episode?
Yes.
All right. Let us, however, start with our B plot. Some dude hits on Jane. We start this episode disgustingly. Michael is on the phone, elaborately bragging about how great his life in LA is while fixing a toilet as behind him, Jane eats in the bathroom. What is with the show and people eating in the bathroom? I would really like to know.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, I will say this. In one of the bathrooms in our home, we refer to, you know, going number two as seeing a man about a horse, sure, as one does, uh-huh, as many people do. Yep. I built Dan a shelf, very tiny shelf with little coasters with horses on them, mm-hmm, for his coffee in the morning. But this is the limit. Like, if he were in there with like a crueler, I would be upset.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So we learned from Jane's question, okay, that Michael is talking to someone named Sam who is in town and wants to go out for dinner with them that night. But Michael is on call through the weekend. However, Jane is free. Jane is also, unfortunately, free to wear a beret with a huge fucking flower on it to her dinner with Sam in a restaurant that is very dark and yet not so dark that we can't still see that hat, and I am mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, we are about to enter a cone of episodes during which she is apparently, Josie Bissett is apparently trying to grow out this haircut.
Uh-huh.
I had that haircut at that time, and I absolutely feel her pain, but
oh, yeah,
the methods that she chooses are unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
also, you're in a restaurant eating, take your hat off.
Right. Yes. I mean, she's a lady, so the rules are different, but yes, I agree. And but it is a lot of like those wide like Alice bands, which were the style at the time. Style in big quotation marks.
Yeah, no.
We all did it. Me too. Sam is Rob Estes, yeah, and he is musing about whether he picked the wrong major, because even though he is successful, he gets bored with his work. And he thinks that he made Michael and Jane go on double dates with all his bimbos in college to get Jane's approval, which she never gave. And she flirts that she didn't think any of those broads was good enough for him, and he thinks if they weren't, it's because they weren't enough like Jane. And he regrets the admission immediately, which she tries to smooth over by saying there was a time that she had a crush on him too, but he wasn't Michael, he says. And apparently, Sam made Jane drive him back to his hotel, which is probably the Bellagio, although it's not our usual establishing shop, with the top down on her car, despite the cold, for what he calls the topless LA experience, which, like, okay. I mean,
Jesus.
I think this is where we're supposed to be able to tell he had a few at dinner, but whatever. And so, as she's standing close to him trying to warm up, he grabs her by the shoulders and kisses her, and she's shocked. And he's sorry for a second before taking it back and saying he's wanted to do that for years. And she tartly reminds him that Michael is his oldest and dearest friend. And he re-apologizes, and then she accepts and they part. But back in the driver's seat, she is shook. And then Michael comes home after his shift and wakes Jane up to ask how her evening was. And she manages to dodge his questions by feigning sleep. And then she leaves the room and she's shook some more. And then that night, Jane is waiting nervously in front of a fancy coffee table picnic when Michael gets home, and he's suspicious but goes with it. And if this is when she was going to tell him, she lost her nerve. But then, some number of days later, Michael gets to the phone before Jane can, and of course it's Sam. And as Jane looks on tensely and horror movie strings play, Sam and Michael make plans to make it to the hospital. Michael thinks he sounded strange, but doesn't really think anything of it until he gets to the lounge where Sam is idly hitting on Kimberly before Michael shows up and Sam immediately makes it weird in clip two.
Michael, thanks for the time. I had to see you. I'm sorry.
Sorry? About what?
Oh, man, she didn't tell you. Look, never mind. Forget that I said anything.
Wait a sec. Shane was supposed to tell me something?
I can't believe I did this.
What are you talking about?
The other night at dinner, I came on to Jane. And then I kissed her.
I don't understand here. Jane let you?
No, she didn't let me. I surprised her.
Oh, my.
Wow. Look, the reason she didn't say anything is because she probably forgot herself. It was only a kiss.
But this... this is unbelievable.
Forgive me? Pals?
Pals?
Guy.
There's just something about that word.
Yeah.
Ugh. Having been brushed off after an OkCupid date. This is the guy right before my husband, so whatever. And we were on the same page, so also whatever. But I got this very formal dear sir or madam email that was like, I think we're better suited as pals than partners. And I was like, gross, bro.
How about neither? How would that grab you?
Yeah. Well, it has been neither. Never heard from him again.
No doubt.
Didn't answer that either.
Jeez.
Oh, buddy.
So Jane is packing a picnic basket for a freezing cold beach party, which we will get to, when Michael comes home. And apparently this time she can't hear the horror movie strings and is chirpy as hell and oblivious to Michael's mood. And it dawns on her slowly that Sam told Michael what happened. And she tells Michael it was nothing. He says it wasn't nothing to Sam. And he was apparently gratified that Sam was ashamed and is disturbed that Jane isn't acting guilty at all. But she thought it was easier if she didn't say anything. And he sarcastically thanks her for protecting him before hulking out, although Jane remains admirably unimpressed by this display in clip three.
I looked like a complete ass.
Here it comes.
Well, don't I have a right? I mean, you kissed him! Another man. A friend of mine.
He kissed me. I pushed him away, and that is all that happened.
Why keep it a secret? Huh? Why didn't you tell me?
Because I knew how you'd react. Like you are now, like a child. Oh, this temper of yours. I am really getting used to it, Michael. If you really want to know the truth, I never even considered telling you. Ever. Because I knew this is exactly what would happen.
I mean, she's, you know, she's right. Like, this is their dynamic. 100%.
Well, I mean... I guess this feels a lot to me like retrofitting him as a controlling rage ball, which like I don't feel like we've necessarily seen that to the degree that she's talking about.
I don't think that's true at all. I mean, the way he reacted to her pregnancy was this exactly. Like every decision that she made was him being mad about it.
We haven't seen them at all, period, for like... weeks. So
that is true.
Maybe I've just forgotten.
Fair.
This does, but it just does seem like when we have seen them, at least lately,
mm-hmm.
they've been like in the background or comic relief or sort of like a contrast to whatever romantical trouble some other character is having, and that hasn't been in the foreground. And this does feel, especially given like where it is and things, other things that are happening,
mm-hmm.
like an attempt to foreground that to a degree that was not present.
Mm-hmm.
But also, who cares? Like, he needs to have his heel turn. Get on with it.
Right. So Rhonda shows up at this point, and maybe the reason that she leaves the show could be that she's sick of walking in on savage marital fights between the Mancinis, because that's the second time she's done it.
True.
So... at the party, the Mancinis work the grill while continuing to snipe at each other, and Jane correctly calls out his litany of excuses for his rage problem and how he looks for reasons to indulge in it, usually with the result that she gets punished. And he thinks this is different because he got cucked. I'm paraphrasing, but in my opinion, as discussed, it really kind of isn't. And the next day, Michael's stewing and Jane is still disgusted in clip 4.
I don't know what you want me to say. I could lie, tell you it doesn't hurt, but it does. I think that's petty or childish, fine. I don't care. It's how I feel.
It's always how you feel. Keeping Michael happy. That's what this marriage is about.
And what the hell is wrong with that?
Everything.
I mean, I had this marked, too, as, like, another example of, like, I just don't feel like they've necessarily earned that lately, but...
Mm-hmm.
Also... Buddy, like, I will say this. First of all, it isn't her fault, and she probably was right, even if you weren't being characterized as a controlling douche,
mm-hmm.
to just be like, well, you know, you guys are friends, and this isn't going to happen again. But also, right. If your bestie is Rob Estes, get used to it, dude. You have to have been cock-blocked 6,000 times by that guy. It's
honestly.
Rob Estes. There's nothing you can do.
No, it's true. So... Michael then comes raging into the lounge of the hospital where Kimberly is dozing on the couch instead of in the on-call room, the room for sleeping. I've seen Scrubs. I know how shit works. She is not interested in his shitty mood since, unlike him, she was on call all weekend. And he asks her if she ever feels like she's losing it and describes feeling like he's out of control. She suggests it's an early midlife crisis. He wonders why it's so easy for him to talk to her, and then he blows it at home. And Kimberly notes that he spends 17 hours a day at the hospital, so maybe it's his concept of home that's fucked up, and they have this exchange, clip 5.
I don't even know what home is anymore.
It's where you're appreciated. It's where someone will buy you breakfast, no questions asked.
All right. Let's do it.
I get it.
I don't get it.
I mean, the truest mark of where this is going is that this is where we leave the plot line instead of with even a token like peacemaking scene between Michael and Jane. So guess we can see where this is going.
Yeah.
If we didn't already know. On to the A plot. Allison and Billy's roommate breakup may have been too hasty. In the marina, Billy is alone in Amanda's apartment, and truly, the only way to describe what he is doing is oafing around, not loafing, oafing.
So true.
No L. He's trying to get into a lounge position to read the paper, but all of Amanda's furniture is too elegant to be comfortable, and so when she comes out, he's sitting on the floor with his back against the breakfast bar, she's enthusing over what a great day it is, and he's grouchy, and she calls him out for not being a morning person or a night person, which is kind of funny. But he's also, we find out, the beneficiary of her housework, as she says in clip 6.
If you're looking for your laundry, it's folded in the closet, second shelf.
You don't have to do that.
I like doing it. It's nice to take care of someone else besides myself.
This is a little like culture shock.
Allison never did anything for me.
I guess she wasn't in love with you.
You've known each other for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, if Amanda does her own laundry versus sending it out, I will eat it. Because, yeah. Come on. No, she doesn't.
Well, I mean, if she has in-unit laundry, sure, she does her own laundry. I would buy that.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
In L.A., people do sometimes. But also, like, two things. Allison absolutely did do stuff for Billy all the time. And it's not his girlfriend's job to do his laundry. So it's definitely not his roommate's job. Like, how entitled is this guy? Just kidding. We all know Ferry. Like, he's the baby. He's the boy. He got everything from his overly doting parents, blah, blah, blah. In his rental car, Keith is once again trying to sell Allison on Seattle. And while he had agreed not to push, time is a factor. He's supposed to be there on Monday, but he's worried about leaving Allison in L.A. since she still doesn't feel comfortable driving because of, you know, the crime. And she knows her life has come to a pivot point and very formally states that she will go to Seattle with Keith. And he just quietly thanks her and doesn't seem excited or surprised. They are so weird.
He looks nauseated. It's in the visual aids.
Yeah.
He looks ill. Then he's like, oh, shit, she called my bluff. Sorry, buddy. You're taking an Eeyore to the 206. Enjoy.
So Allison gets to the office late, and while Amanda comes at her, ready to needle her about it, Allison No Care in clip 7.
Today's my last day, Amanda. I'm leaving D&D. Keith and I are moving to Seattle first thing on Monday morning. I'm very excited. I'm sure Lucy will find you a new partner. Oh, and you can relax. This has nothing to do with you and Billy.
I wasn't thinking that.
Yes, you were.
No, I'm just shocked and disappointed.
Oh, please.
I am.
God, Amanda, why can't you just admit that you're relieved? You have this whole to-the-point businesswoman act down to a T. But the truth is that everything you say is a disguise for something else, and I'm tired of it. Everyone is tired of it.
Everyone except Billy. You want directness, honesty? Fine. Your leaving is the best news I've heard all week. Allison, don't forget your raincoat.
Ooh. Weather burned.
Man. Allison is the worst.
She's really bad. So Allison comes home just as Joe and Jake are helping Billy move his shit out of the apartment. We're supposed to think there's some question about whose books are whose between Billy and Allison, like you've lived together 6 months. I doubt it. Also, I doubt you like the same books, but anyway. Allison blurts that the cops found Keith's car stripped and then further blurts about her own big move. And everyone is shocked, and Allison is so defensive about it that we can all clearly tell she is clearly conflicted about it. And then Keith later gets off the phone after booking their flights, and Allison starts spinning out about how fast everything is happening. And Keith doesn't think it's a big deal that she won't have a job right away since she can get them settled, find them a place to live, etc. Just a reminder, these two have never lived together and only reconciled from a very acrimonious breakup, which was caused by all his lying about 4 days ago. But good luck with all this. Surely it's going to work out great.
Yeah, pretty sure they haven't boned again yet. So, okay.
No, didn't they do it in the last episode at the fancy hotel with the fireplace? I thought that's what happened.
Oh, okay. I thought she just wanted him to hold her.
Who cares?
Still. Like, whatever. This is stupid and going nowhere. Spoiler.
So true. Yeah, they have so much less chemistry this time. I mean, I guess that makes sense, but also, like, why, if you're supposed to be selling that you're so in love with her, like, you're not, and why did you come back? Anyway, as Allison continues spinning out, it seems like her worry is that Keith is going to control her by keeping her from getting a job in Seattle, but he's like, I want you to work, I can't support us both, and then she laughs and they start making out, which, whatever. Over at Amanda's. Joe and Jake have apparently finished moving Billy's chair in at Amanda's. Like, I don't know what else there is, and are sitting around having Chinese food as Amanda jokes that all Billy talks about is the building and she thinks he's homesick. And talk then turns to Allison, despite Amanda's best efforts, in clip 8.
Give her a break. It's what she wants.
Well, she doesn't have any idea what she wants ever since the carjacking.
More rice, anyone?
Yeah, I agree. This is not Allison.
Well, you should talk to her. She won't listen to me.
No woman should ever give up everything for a man. This is romantic notion that's drummed into our heads since we're born. It's this 50s mentality that doesn't work in a two-paycheck world.
She works on these speeches late at night.
Billy, would you get another bottle of wine? Joe's glass is empty.
Okay.
Absolutely hate this thing.
Yeah, do you have a back bedroom or something you could stick it in?
Yeah, but there's no room for it, and I don't know what to tell Billy.
What don't you know what to tell Billy?
The chair. She hates it.
I know you love it, and it holds fond memories for you, but look at it. It's old and ugly.
Okay. It's just a chair. I'll get rid of it.
Tonight? Maybe Jake can help you take it down to the dumpster.
It's your call, Billy.
I love how much the chair creaks like... Can't stop shutting up about how annoying and bad it is. Also, it's like clearly cheap vinyl. Like, you can see where it's peeling. It is a bad chair. I mean,
yeah. Also, but I mean, she wins the bad chair contest. Like, don't have wicker dining room chairs. Oh,
yeah.
Just made the backs of my legs hurt looking at them. But yeah, we get it, show.
Yes, her furniture is very trendy 90s with all that that implies. Like, her headboard is also like wavy wooden slats. It's very strange. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
On their way to the dumpster, because of course Billy gives in to Amanda, Jake tries to talk Billy out of giving in to Amanda, which too late. Billy thinks relationships are about sacrifices, which he's happy to make, but Jake gets the impression that Amanda likes to be in control. Oh, you think? Jake also thinks Amanda hasn't given anything up for Billy. Billy says he's not keeping score, but Jake thinks he should start. Ugh, what he decides to put his foot down over, my God. So then a very cheerful Allison is trying to give away a lamp to Joe when Michael announces that they're going to throw her a going away party. No such party for Billy, one notes, by the way. Mm.
Joe is still shocked. Entirely leave town.
Right. Joe's still shocked, though she does draw a parallel between between Allison's impulsive decision and Billy's. Sorry. She tries it. Allison doesn't want to get into it because she has to go for a run.
You gotta redo that.
Okay, sorry. I can't remember what. There's too many A's. I forget. All right. Joe is still shocked, though she does try to draw a parallel between Allison's impulsive decision and Joe's own impulsive decision to leave Charles. But Allison doesn't want to get into it because she has to go for a run. Billy's on the floor at Amanda's again, trying to get Amanda to agree to watch a restored cut of Nosferatu with commentary from Stephen King. Surprise, this is not something Amanda is interested in, specifically because they have dinner plans with her father again, apparently. But Billy actually pushes back and Amanda relents. And this is also where we learn that when he goes for a run, he drives to Melrose because he gets lost around Amanda's place, which, like, I don't know, join a gym? Go run in the gym that her building almost certainly contains, or drive around her, or like jog around her place so you learn the neighborhood. This is how you learn.
Or just make a bunch of left turns so that you come back to the same place.
Yeah. Like, she lives in the marina. Navigate by the water. It's not hard. But, of course, Allison and Billy end up running into each other on their runs. She already knows about Nosferatu, which the two of them apparently recently watched together, and it scared the crap out of her. She sheepishly says she should get Keith to watch it. Not sure why she would want to watch a scary movie at this juncture of her life, given, you know, the crime, but okay. Billy suggests they go out for cappuccino, but Allison has to meet Keith at the beach, and they part. And at said beach, Keith claims the beach in Seattle won't be polluted, which I doubt. She jokes about his butt getting soft if he doesn't have enough work to do, which he says is the first thing to go in a marriage, and she gets all clenched, reminding him that she's never been married and never even considered it. He's like, I wasn't proposing, which she knows, but she gets nervous about how easily words like love and marriage come to Keith, but she's not panicking, she's concerned. He tries to reassure her that when he finds something he really wants, he grabs onto it and doesn't let it get away. And if you think too much, opportunities slip past you. And then she makes us all wonder why it's her he wants anyway in clip 9.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying I can't fall in love so quickly. So completely. I need time and air and, yeah, a lot of thought.
Don't you see? That's what's so great about Seattle. We'll have nothing but time. Just the two of us with no distractions.
The whining. Oh, the whining.
The whining. The whining is unbearable. It's getting so much worse lately. Also, are they both under the impression that Seattle is a station on Antarctica? No distractions. Like, it's a fucking major city with pro teams.
Right.
What are you fucking talking about?
Right.
Why do I care? This will last 12 minutes, so.
I mean, maybe his point is, like, no one they know is there?
No internet yet? I don't know.
So that night, Amanda is dismayed by what a big production Billy is making of their movie night, which Allison is also doing at her place. I was on Keith's side when he was shitting on advertising in the last episode, but he loses me here in clip 10.
I just think films have the responsibility to educate and enlighten as well as entertain.
Shh. Shut up.
What? Well, you're being enlightened as to ancient vampire customs, Keith. Shut up.
Yeah.
Blue.
At Amanda's, she is like standing directly next to the TV and crabbing about what the big deal is. Because he's seen it and it's so old, as we heard up top. She rips on it, the movie a bit, and then sits down and turns on a light so she can read a magazine. Dilly yells at her. Like, it's fine if it's not her thing, but she really is being rude, I have to say. No, don't agree.
Just go in the bedroom. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, she could give it a chance. Like, Nosferatu is such an old movie. I don't even think it's an hour long. It's really short. Just tough it out.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, at Allison's, Keith isn't interested in the movie either, but at least he's trying to fuck. Finally, Amanda can't take it anymore in clip 11.
Billy, I have to tell you something. I absolutely hate horror films.
Well, you should have just said so.
Oh, it wasn't obvious?
Well, it'd be a little more obvious if you'd said so.
Well, you should have sensed it.
You should have been more direct.
He's right. And what happened to I don't do signals, Amanda?
Well, yeah. And it's your house.
Yeah.
It is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't want to watch it, just be like, more for you.
Right. Anyway, she at least wants to turn it down, but he refuses. And then he loses me again, making it about his right to make decisions in the home they share and not basic consideration. And at Allison's, Keith falls asleep. And the former roommates are both separately disappointed. The next day, Billy has decided to assert himself some more by going down to the dumpster and retrieving his ugly fucking chair. Amanda thinks he's being ridiculous, taking her disdain for the movie so personally, but decides not to make a stand on the chair. Fair enough. And they recover from their first fight with their first makeup sex. And then Allison is on her hands and knees collecting something from under her desk at work when Lucy and her very bad new haircut appear to start yelling at Allison for throwing away the chance that Lucy went out on a limb to give her. And this is also where we find out that Allison resigned via answering machine message, which, no, bad form. No.
Oh, my God. No.
No, no.
No.
Allison tries
probably
to save
whiny
face.
As hell.
No doubt. Allison tries to save face, but she knows the story she has to tell is not one that's going to change Lucy's mood in clip 12.
It's not that I don't appreciate everything. Just tell me. What is in Seattle that you're not getting here?
Keith. I mentioned him. He's moving there to Seattle.
So let him go. You haven't heard of a telephone? Believe me, there are a lot of advantages to a long-distance relationship. Amanda doesn't have anything to do with this, does she?
Not at all.
Well, you wouldn't be the first person she's driven out of this job. Her last partner quit the same way. Didn't even pick up her last paycheck.
I didn't know.
Amanda is tough. She's a survivor. She knows how to play the game. I thought you had a lot of the same instincts. Boy, I sure never figured you for a quitter.
I explained.
The man is more important. Okay, I won't even get into that. Except, if he loved you, he would have waited. Unfortunately, the same can't be said about this job. If you walk out of here today, that job is gone tomorrow.
I'm aware of that.
Allison, you are an independent woman. You don't have to do this.
It is very complicated.
Okay. I won't push. Let me know if you need a recommendation.
Not sure I would take
Lucy. Cut your losses. Like, what are you doing? You bet a whiny pony. Let her trot off to Seattle.
Yeah.
She sucks.
I have to say, this was one of the better scenes of the episode, though, because it does tie back to, like, Allison and Keith's first go-round and how Lucy, that was when Lucy was first putting herself out to try and give Allison a shot, and Allison fucked her over then.
Uh-huh.
So that's why Allison is like very hesitant to say, it's that guy again. She's embarrassed. I mean, she should be, but, you know, I like the continuity.
Yeah. I mean, I just like Lucy seems actually legit cool. I just wish that she had a better eye for what Allison is, which is none of the things that Lucy thought. And yeah, that's pretty obvious from talking to her for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Ugh. I mean, I feel like when you get that answering machine message, you're like, well, that's the end of that attempt.
Yeah. Have security leave her shit at the front desk because we're done.
Yep. So at the freezing cold party on the beach, Amanda tries to be cordial and Allison is a bitch about it in clip 13.
Quite a send-off. A good friend. I can tell. Can you? I mean, I've never seen you with many friends of your own. Cheap shot. Ran on target. I heard about your other partners at D&D. Is every woman a threat to you?
Advertising's a tough world. Some people don't have what it takes.
That serious lack of compassion.
You know, I don't have to listen to this. The truth is, and I know how big you are on the truth, you're jealous of everything I have. My job, Billy. You're running away because you can't handle it.
You know what, Amanda? I really don't care what you think about me.
Believable. LOL. Yeah.
Boof. Embarrassing. So Billy comes over just then, and Amanda abruptly asks him to take her home. Billy realizes this is goodbye for him and Allison, and they hug, whereupon Allison plays Mr. Woodward, but opposite, in clip 14.
She's not the right woman for you. I don't know if this is a warning or just advice or whatever, but I had to say that before I go.
Billy!
You can do a lot better.
Good luck, Alice.
Thanks.
Well, goodbye forever. Mm-mm. Forever. So the next day, Billy is morosely eating cereal when Amanda comes out of the bathroom, yelling at him to quit leaving his towels on the floor, ditto his dirty clothes, and here's this fucking asshole's answer, clip 15.
Whatever happened to enjoying doing something nice for someone else?
Fuck you!
Oh my god. You 14? Pick up your shit, dumbass.
Yeah. I mean, how immature he is just shines through in that answer. Like, did you think that would work? Really? You know, yeah. It's not an act of service if the recipient is just sitting around like a lord expecting you to do it. But anyway, instead of telling him to fuck off, Amanda says this, clip 16.
Well, I don't always have time in the mornings. And when I said that...
You're just being nice.
No one is honest all of the time.
Yeah, well, some of us try.
And some of us feel it is better to get along than constantly bare one's soul.
Not liking towels on the floor is not exactly baring one's soul, and you should have said something days ago.
Why do I feel like I'm suddenly talking to Allison and not Billy? What did she do last night, warn you?
This has nothing to do with Allison.
And now who's lying? I'm no fool, Billy. You've been comparing me to her since the moment you moved in. You want to know something? I'm glad I'm not Allison. I'm glad I'm not some ditzy, indecisive little Midwestern nitwit who's so scared of life that she's running off to Seattle with some guy she barely even knows.
You're wrong. You're wrong about everything you just said.
Don't do this, Billy.
She is a deep and sensitive woman, and if you took the time to get to know someone, really get to know them, instead of judging and criticizing with your screwed-up set of rules, you might see that.
I'm leaving now, before you say
Before what? Before I go past the point of no return, well, I think I already have. And now I'm free to say, well, we both already know that I moved in way too quickly and we don't even know each other.
And now that you know me?
Frankly?
Oh, by all means.
I don't think I like you very much.
Be out by the time I get home. I could start with that chair.
Okay.
The approbation of Billy. Dun, dun, dun. That was unbelievably badly acted. I'd also like to note that when he's trying to say you're wrong, he tries to do this franchise's trademark arm grab and misses. Like, Andrew Shue can't even get the controlling arm grab right. Why is he?
Hilarious. Also so hilarious. Bad. The last thing she says is, you can start with your chair. And the next thing we see is the chair triumphantly riding on top of Billy's cab, which made me laugh out loud. And I think intentionally. I really did laugh. As this is happening, Keith and Allison are waiting for a van to the airport, which is late. When Billy pulls up, he can take them. Allison asks about the chair, and he announces that it's over between him and Amanda, which we'll see. So Billy gets Keith and Allison to the airport just in time to make their flight. Allison says Billy wants to walk them to the gate. Keith tries to avoid this by saying Billy will get a ticket, but Billy's sure his cab is safe, so as soon as they're gone, a cop shows up, which was also funny.
That was pretty good.
And then Keith is booking it to the plane while Billy regales Allison with the tale of the chair, and she is absolutely rapt. And Keith keeps trying to hurry her along, so she finally tells him to go and get them seats so that she and Billy can say their fourth goodbye in our final clip.
I don't think Michael's rented the apartment yet, so all you need to do is find another roommate.
Allison, don't do this.
What?
Don't get on this plane.
Billy, what are you talking about?
You don't belong in Seattle. Forget the rain. It's not you. You can't just give up like this. You can't walk out on everything you've accomplished. Come on, I know you. Trust me, you'll be miserable. I wanted to talk to you about this last
Billy,
night.
Billy, I have to go.
Why? Why? Why do you have to do anything? You're your own person. Look, LA sucks sometimes, okay? Other times it's great, like last night, hanging out with your friends. That's what it's all about. You're walking away from the best people you'll ever know in your life. I know, because they're the best people I've ever known.
Oh, Billy, it's too late. I'm sorry. Oh, goodbye.
Allison, please.
I just want to add,
oh my God,
listeners of Extra Hot Great know Dave and I just started recording in the same room, and so when Andrew Shue just bleated out, please, I got to see Dave's look of startlement, and it was very funny. And that's the episode. Wow, what a shit show.
Oh my God, I think that please might have to be a permanent sound drop, because it's so bad.
Really, it's not so bad. But you know, at least we never have to see Allison again. She's gone forever. JK, JK, JK. Let us close things up by naming our episode MVP. I mean, I want to say Amanda, but she did do Billy's laundry, so she loses points.
Yeah, I mean, for the same reason that I want to say Lucy, she got a terrible haircut and she believed in Allison twice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to say Amanda. At least she got rid of Billy.
Fair enough. I'm going to say Rhonda, just because she walked in on the Mancini's fight at the right time and at least collected some gossip, which is more interesting than anything that's happened in her own storylines for weeks.
True.
Least valuable player. Allison, the screechy whiner. Ugh.
Oh, God. Yep. And the unbearable answering machine quitter lever. She's so terrible.
That's it.
It sure is. Next time on Again With This, Billy's father dies and takes Southern California's entire supply of glycerin and Allison's relationship with Keith, spoiler, out with him. You'll need Southern California's entire supply of Visine to get through our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. They're on our website at againwiththispodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at AWT90210, and you can support our Patreon at patreon.com/againwiththis, where any level of support gets you extra episodes. I'm complete ass Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Chair of Conflict, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is quite a send-off. He's David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.